This is the Jim Rome Show with guest host Brian Weber on CBS Sports Radio.
Easing into the final hour of the program, coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Need to know what it takes for a home to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can. Brian Weber with you. As always, an absolute honor to be in for Jim. We're going to do it again tomorrow, and then we can all rejoice. Jim is back on Monday. I'm doing my best not to destroy the brand that he has worked so hard to establish as the premier destination in all of sports media. Probably helps I've not taken a phone call, but I am of the mindset we can have a chat at 1-800-636-8686. Emails, romanavatake.com. I'm looking for your huge tweet brought to you by Dell. Inside every growing business, there's an innovator. Dell Technologies has the tools to empower yours, like smart PCs powered by Intel vPro platform that is built for business. Find tech that's right for you by calling a Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL. So far, just one guest. Good football conversation with Jared Bell of USA Today. In 40 minutes, we'll say hello to our second analyst, taking you across college football with week zero, the kickoff festivities, unofficially prior to the normal games that we have on the docket on Labor Day weekend. But we have college football in just over 2 weeks, so we will go on campus with Pete Futek from collegefootballnews.com. I know many of you find my histrionics about the state of a sport I love to be over the top, so we will make it balanced. We'll talk a little bit of consolidation, the absolute greed of many programs, and what's going on the field, because Pete is very plugged in. Since we had that conversation with Jared Bell, honored by the Hall of Fame last week for his wonderful career, decades covering the National Football League, I stumbled across the topic. Sometimes organic developments are the best, with more of your tweets coming up in 20 minutes. What Hall of Fame would I have a shot at getting into? What skills, what particular set of attributes would qualify me for at least consideration? The over-enunciation Hall of Fame. The problem is there's no T's in there, right? I'd somehow throw a silent T in there. Enshrinement in the Hall of Fame. Blowhard Hall of Fame, certainly. Full of myself, I know. So I'm now writing the tweets for you, as screened by producer Tom, who's doing a phenomenal job, as always. Competent, professional, congenial, well-dressed today. And there's Ritt over there, too. Garrett, we're still on the air, correct? So I found, before we jump into the final hour with more thoughts on what in the world is Bill Belichick thinking about the composition of his coaching staff and what's driving him at the age of 70? That's all in advance of the preseason week one kickoff. We had the Hall of Fame game last week, Raiders and Jags, but a couple games tonight, among them the Giants and the Patriots. Since we're talking Patriots, I will acknowledge what I mentioned in passing. Tom Brady has stepped away from the Buccaneers, quote-unquote, dealing with personal things. That's what he told reporters. He's scheduled to return next week. But since I have Tom and I have Garrett, what do they have in common? Now, they are dressed alike. When we got together at 4:30, I mapped that out because I'm just that much of a micromanager. And I said, guys, let's have a little bit of a monochromatic thing. Tom gets embarrassed when I mention that he has squandered an Ivy League education. I'm just trying to get your parents to feel on board about your career path. Tom, a graduate of Columbia University. You know who was the president of Columbia University prior to becoming president of the United States? Dwight D. Eisenhower. You found that button, huh? Baker Street available? Finally. Ike ever party on Baker Street? No, he does not perform well.
We all drive in.
On demand. There we go.
On Baker Street.
So just as after leading the Allied invasion, liberating Europe, Ike used Columbia to prepare for being commander-in-chief, Garrett Ritt used the Brian Weber Show as his stepping stone. And now has a media empire, and I'm clutching this microphone for dear life wondering, are we even on the air? Now you know the rest of the story.
One hit wonder, my
Patriot
butt.
Football. I can't sit here and say Bill Belichick is overrated. Your thoughts at 1-800-636-8686. Only a con man would spin that yarn. Although, there's money to be made going down that road, and I'm not that desperate yet, or maybe I'm delusional. But it is fascinating what's going on in New England, and nationally, there seems to be a, well, Belichick knows what he's doing, right, kind of reaction. In New England, it's very different. And now I'll get into one of my favorite approaches in sports talk radio, using geography as a way to sum up why things are different. You see, the East Coast, they got a lot of people, and they yell at each other. So fans are passionate. West Coast, they want to look at the water. But Boston has a real, active, engaged sports media. And people have been following the Patriots for decades, like Tom Curran. I'll throw out an insider, now working for NBC. Albert Breer. Used to work for the Boston Globe. I work with them at NFL Network, now taking over the Monday Morning Quarterback gig on Sports Illustrated from Peter King. Peter King showed up. The army of NFL insiders, because there are more NFL insiders now than players in the National Football League. The difference between NFL insiders and the rest, NFL insiders actually get things right most of the time. NBA is just grabbing stuff and throwing it against the wall. Because nobody saw that Durant story coming, right? Even though we have all of these plugged in people. Now, we'll talk about this a little bit tomorrow. Durant continues to try to play 12-dimensional chess, raising the stakes. Not only do I want out Joe Tsai, Mr. Owner Man, if you want me to stay, you got to fire both Sean Marks and Steve Nash, the guy he picked to be the head coach. This is like George Costanza trying to get fired on Seinfeld with no success. But Durant. NFL insiders no have been way. Telling us that the Patriots' offense looks like garbage. Button. Garbage. Hot garbage. And there is a school of thought that you shouldn't overreact to anything you see in training camp. And hasn't Bill Belichick earned a massive benefit of the doubt? I understand both of those positions. But I'm only telling you what I'm hearing and what I'm reading, and I never try to pretend that I'm anything close to an insider. Nobody would have me join that club, like Groucho Marx. But the consensus of educated NFL views seems to be there are real issues with the basic fundamentals for the Patriots. Now, we won't be able to gauge Mac Jones if you care about exhibition football, because according to reports, he's not going to play against the Giants tonight. But in the sessions of training camp that have been open to reporters, basic things like ball exchange from center to Mac Jones to running back are not being executed. Mac Jones is getting beat up with the confines of a practice setting, but has no time to throw the ball. Well, what do you know? Maybe the genius, quote unquote, although that was Bill Walsh, maybe the Lord of the Rings, the hoodie, has outsmarted himself. Because explain to me objectively, and I'm Brian Weber, in for Jim Rome, 1-800-636-8686. Tweets on the way in less than 15 minutes. B.W. Weber, Weber with two B's. Bill Belichick's going to the Hall of Fame. What halls of fame should I be eligible for? That's coming up. But offer me a coherent explanation as to what the Patriots have done in this offseason. Team was not good enough last year. Yes, I know they made the playoffs. That is a low threshold with the added wild card spots at a 17-game regular season. What happened in that playoff game? They got demolished by the Bills. And if you watch games, Mac Jones regressed down the stretch. Not only because he played more than the 12 or 13 games you're playing on Alabama, because you're playing all those regular season games, plus the conference title game, plus the national semifinal, and the national championship game. But it felt like, in addition to that game, and I realized it was windy and the Patriots won the game, but remember there was that game, which Mac Jones was only allowed to throw it three times. How many other quarterbacks would have gone along with that? He's not going to object. He's a rookie. But how many other teams would have said, we have that little faith in our guy, we're going into a shell, we're running it, and we're counting on our defense? Well, how'd that defense look against the Bills in the playoff game? And they left a lot of points on the field watching that game because Mac Jones had a couple costly interceptions. In the offseason, they decided not to pay their best corner. I was looking at the NFL.com rankings of cornerbacks yesterday. Yes, I need some hobbies. J.C. Jackson leaving New England, going to the Chargers, evaluated as potentially the best corner in all of football. Is that going to help Mac Jones? If now you're going to rely on the old formula, if you're a Patriot fan, you're going to tell me we won multiple Super Bowls with special teams, defense, and a young game-managing Tom Brady. Well, Mac Jones does not have any of the upside, and nobody does of Tom Brady, but Mac Jones has been limited as long as we've known about him going back to Alabama. And it's not bashing him to point out what's self-evident. He is just not that athletic. He lacks a refined NFL skill set. Now he's making the transition from year one to year two with the decline over the last third of the season. And where is he going to get support from? Because the coaching staff that no longer includes Josh McDaniels, innovative play caller who's learned across his years in the league. It didn't work out in part by his own admission because of his ego and problems relating with people when he had the shot to be the head coach in Denver in the midst of Tebow mania. Well, McDaniels has matured, but he's not there anymore. And he took a bunch of folks with him from the Patriots to Las Vegas. You don't have Dante Scarnecchia. We never talk about offensive line coaches, but I mention that name because it's a name we always talked about, who was a big reason why Tom Brady never got hit in New England, because they had unbelievably precise offensive line play. Well, he's not there. Ernie Adams, the ghost in the machine, the mystery man, whatever he did for many years, helping out Belichick, he's not there anymore. But Bill apparently saying, I got this because I have now two sons on the staff. Because if one Belichick mind is great, you can have three now. That's how powerful I am. I can procreate football geniuses. Even though they look like they come from a different century, but personal appearance is not show fodder as the fill-in guy. Brian Weber in for Jim Rome. 1-800-636-8686. More of your tweets coming up. BW Weber. Weber with two B's. I'm not blaming the Belichick kids. I wish I had a more successful old man. I'd probably be happier and not shouting as much into the microphone. But I do have an issue with pretending Joe Judge knows anything about quarterback play. Or going with Matt Patricia as the play caller. Now, Belichick again is saying, effectively, you folks can't keep up with my supercomputer brain. No, no, no. You're being too linear. We are going to come about this from a perspective of a collective group of leadership. A brains trust, if you will. Matt Patricia's a rocket scientist. Okay. How did he do in Detroit? What stands out about his tenure in Detroit other than he proved that Jim Caldwell should never have been fired? What did he do in Detroit other than having practices outside because he's a football guy? He was a disaster as a head coach, as was Joe Judge, because other than McDaniels, who I think has a real opportunity in Las Vegas, depending on how much you want to believe in future Hall of Famer Derek Carr, who stands out to you amongst that entire rotten coaching tree from New England? It hasn't worked for anybody. Bill O'Brien got drunk with power in Houston. He didn't come back. I think he realizes he's got a better situation in Alabama. But somehow, Belichick is not getting a lot of questioning from the national media. And I understand the rationale. He's Bill Belichick. But have we forgotten who Bill Belichick was prior to Tom Brady bursting on the scene as a sixth-round pick? Belichick in Cleveland, one winning season in 5 years, losing record overall. Belichick has gone 17-17 without Tom Brady.
I'm not going to go back and
what's Tom Brady done? Won a Super Bowl. Case closed. So Belichick certainly has earned the right to try to be innovative. I'm not one who's going to critique an attempt at creativity in any forum. I try my best, mildly, not just to be as formulaic as other people, but there's a reason nobody else has attempted this. Because play calling is an art. If you've ever been around any football team on a high level, I'll just give you a college experience, but I've covered NFL teams. Play callers have almost a zen feel to them. And a lot of it comes from having the 19,000 pages that are laminated, but it's also a rhythm. And when to trust your quarterback in the moment. And when to take what the defense is giving you. And yes, just from a standpoint of intellectual capability, Matt Patricia can pull this off theoretically, but this is not a college seminar. It's the National Football League, man. It's not intramurals. So maybe I'll be wrong. Maybe Belichick will outsmart us all again, but it's not looking good. And for Bill, to answer my own question, what's motivating Bill Belichick at the age of 70, clearly it's all about having more wins than Don Shula at the end of his career. Shula finished with 328 regular season wins. Belichick sitting on 290. Do basic math, he needs four more 10-win seasons, roughly. I don't think the Patriots are getting the 10 wins this year. And if they don't win a playoff game this year, that's 4 years without a playoff victory. And why do I point that out? Because owner Robert Kraft mentioned independently in a press conference at the owners' meetings in the spring, well, we haven't won a playoff game in 3 years. So, no, I'm not satisfied with what's going on. And you've read many of these same Patriot books that I have. The relationship between Kraft and Belichick has always been strained. That's not a football scoop. And I don't think Kraft has anything that he has to live up to in terms of an obligation to Belichick. He's paid him a ton of money. He's allowed him now to rebuild this franchise in his own image. How's it working out? 17-17. Rick, you were 17 what? About 75 years ago? Ballpark? 1-800-636-8686. I'm not singing when I was 17. It was a very good year. I can barely talk. We will get to the college football analysis coming up in just over 20 minutes when we head on campus with Pete Futek from collegefootballnews.com. Your tweets are coming up. I did my best not to be guilty of what I did last week, going all in on Deshaun Watson. However, I can't ignore what I think is going to happen tomorrow. Peter Harvey, former Attorney General of New Jersey, has the appeal. He's had it for just over a week. There's a lot of informed speculation that the NFL in no way wants Deshaun Watson to be allowed to show up in a preseason game in Jacksonville tomorrow. Now, the only good news is he'll get booed on the road. In Cleveland, standing ovation, because that's what fans do. So as we wait for the appeal decision to drop, which could happen later today or tomorrow, how poor would the optics be if Watson's allowed on the field? And can the NFL engineer an outcome to block that? I'm Brian Weber, in for Jim Rome. 1-800-636-8686. You're in the jungle on an active Thursday here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
I'm Brian Weber. I appreciate you spending some time with us. Always a magnificent opportunity to be in Jim Rome. Hope you know by now how much it means to me and how much I enjoy our time together. And we're going to do it again tomorrow. Groan. You have my permission to have a bit of a three-day weekend if you want to avoid me for a little bit of time. Now, you have to keep it dialed in to CBS Sports Radio. That's the balancing act. My phone only streams the Odyssey app. That's my choice. I recommend you do likewise. But I understand I'm an acquired taste, even within my own family. Overbearing has been used repeatedly. Who needs a therapist? I can just clutch this microphone and talk to you at 1-800-636-8686. 15 minutes from now, I will try to be more concise here because I want to give time to Pete Vutek to cover all of the important topics across college football. Pete is the editor of collegefootballnews.com. I know, with some thoughts on Deshaun Watson's suspension appeal coming up, I knew what I was stepping into when I threw out in passing halls of fame that I might be eligible for, at least be on the ballot. Wells in the 360. Weber, you belong in the Stressing Out Chairs Hall of Fame. Well said. Thank you. Alex August the 3rd, you would qualify for the McRib Hall of Fame. Well, like the McRib, I'm only here for limited time. And for many of you, that's a day or two too many. George Campbell, first ballot ill-fitting suit Hall of Famer, McRibber. Hey, I actually have a suit that fits today, all right? Now, the shirt's a separate issue, but you only get me from here. That's by design. Finally, one laconic. Finally. I don't know about Hall of Fame.
Finally.
Would you settle for a Guinness Book of World Records, which I used to memorize as the kids? Since we're talking fat, where are the twins on the bicycles, right? That's a wonderful Rome bit. Go back and find that on YouTube. You're a lock for the widest variety of sports broadcasted in a calendar year war. Taekwondo, badminton, ultimate frisbee, and lumberjack competitions. I've done badminton. I could do Ultimate Frisbee right now in the parking lot, but Rhett may not make it through the end of the show to retrieve my frolf. All right, that
and
was so long.
Just that quickly.
And so factual. We're going to turn that into a huge email brought to you by Grainger for the ones who get it done. Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, 24/7 support, free access to product specialists, and experienced staff at over 250 local branches. Call ClickGrainger.com or just stop by. We are waiting for what I believe will occur either later today or tomorrow. The finding from the former Attorney General of New Jersey, Peter Harvey, on the appeal from the National Football League of the 6-game suspension that former federal judge Sue Robinson dealt Deshaun Watson. And we all have shortcomings as broadcasters. That great line by David Niven with the streaker. Academy Awards, 1970s. This man showing the whole world his shortcomings. One of my failings is I like legal stories. Maybe because I'm trying to prove I should have gone to law school. So I realize for a lot of you, this gets repetitive. I also share the point of view of many of you. I just feel gross talking about this story. It's lewd. It's bizarre. It's creepy. But we're talking about a top five quarterback who, in my estimation, is not going to be allowed to play this entire season. And I think that's the right outcome if we get that finding. Now, there's still speculation that as Peter Harvey, who, remember, has a business relationship with the National Football League, he's worked for them on various projects in the past. I'm not saying he's failing to be impartial, but what do you think his incentive might be? Hey, Raj, I know you wanted that bumped up to 12 games. I'm knocking it down to 2. Can I come back next month? Does my key card work as a freelancer at 345 Park Avenue? So just be logical. The league would not have designated someone who is not going to give them what they're looking for. Now, the question is, will he give them everything they're looking for? Because, and there's too much stealing going on in our business. I want to give proper attribution to Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk. He pointed out something I'd overlooked. We've been talking about Watson's going to have to sit for a full season or an indefinite suspension. But the league, according to Florio, has been asking for, at a minimum, a year-long suspension. Not games, time. And they want to start now. Because they don't want Watson to be able to play in preseason games. Because they want him to go away. And when you had Roger Goodell the other day at the owners' meetings, or is it Goodell? That was my favorite soundbite of all time. You know how rich you must be to have a guy standing next to you making $50 million that you're going to contribute to, and you didn't even take the time or you couldn't be bothered to figure out how to pronounce his name? He probably doesn't know his first name, right? Hey, big boy, tough guy, chief. I use a lot of chief in my life. Commodore, commander. But Goodell, for his $50 million, wants a year-long suspension because the league, and I agree with their perspective, despite all of the denials from Deshaun Watson, the evidence seems to be overwhelming. This is a deranged individual, and I'm using my words selectively, who needs counseling, who needs just to go away. But we do have due process, even in a football setting. So Peter Harvey's going to take his time, but not too much time, because the league does not want this to go on. They don't want people like me on shows like this talking about Deshaun Watson. They want Peter Harvey to come back with year-long suspension starting immediately, and they're going to bar him, I would think, presumably, from all team-related activities, keep him away from the facility. And that is unusual, because however you view past suspensions, typically players are still allowed to practice and they view the preseason as an extension of training camp. But when you had Goodell quote Judge Robinson using egregious, that's a big word, a lot of people don't understand what it means, egregious behavior, but we all know what a predator is. And when Goodell referred to predatory behavior, quoting Sue Robinson, that's all you need to know about the league's perspective. So if, in fact, Watson is a predator, we move from an adjective to a noun, how can you have him in your league until he goes away? There's a conversation about what caused this behavior, and he makes amends. And I'm going to side with the league here. I've had a lot of issues with how Roger Goodell has tried to establish himself as the law and order commissioner and the inconsistencies and the league trying to have their own investigative arm that they're not qualified for. But in this case, we know right and wrong, presumably, or just use the old standard of what would a rational, fair-minded person conclude. Now, if you believe Watson, you're going to tell me no arrest, two separate grand juries in the state of Texas refusing to indict him, and it's his opinion versus, in the league matter, four accusers, but we all know about the 24 cases, and beyond that, according to New York Times, 66 different women that he allegedly reached out to on social media to perform services as a masseuse. So with Watson and the Browns in Jacksonville today, the game coming up tomorrow, the Browns already defiantly, in my view, announcing Watson will be the starter. They could have kept it more ambiguous just from a football standpoint. How many times have you heard a coach say, I haven't figured it out in the preseason, we'll see when we get there, to give them more time, more wiggle room? But this is the Browns saying directly to the NFL, we're playing this guy until we can't play him. And their motivation is clear. $230 million fully guaranteed, which is why the NFL is also going to lean on Harvey for a substantial fine. $8 million, $10 million. But that's just a monetary penalty. I think Watson needs help. And if Harvey does not come back as part of his overall conclusion, 12 games, a full calendar year, a substantial multi-million dollar fine, if there's not also mandated counseling, I will be shocked. We're back tomorrow. We will be aware of what could be developing during the program. I've now tipped my hand. You probably figured it out that I do like navigating through the legal world for about 5 minutes, and then I don't have to think about what it would be like to be a lawyer full time. I like talking college football. I've been doing it on the radio for the better part now of 14 years with Pete Futak, Coming up, is Notre Dame going to stay independent or join the Big Ten? And who's the Cincinnati of this year? Can anybody rise up and shake up the usual suspects that seem to dominate the college football playoff spots on an annual basis? Looking. Brian Weber back with you. And for the Hall of Famer, Jim Rome, we are winding down. That means we're warming up for tomorrow's program. But more important than that, Jim is back on Monday. Appreciate the company. Keep the tweets coming. BW Weber, Weber with two B's. I'll check it out after the program. We have a lot more business to attend to. If I'm talking college football, I'm talking to an old friend, Pete Futek from collegefootballnews.com. Pete, how are you?
What's happening, Brian Weber with two B's? How you been?
I am doing well, still coping with the challenges. I'm not going to say decline. The challenges of my beloved Pac-12 conference. So,
well, you got a boost this week.
Oh, I did. Like. Yes, I did, my man. I might keep that job at Pac-12 Networks.
Yeah, I personally, you could put whatever, you know, Big Ten games you want on whatever network you want. You put on QVC for all I care. I watch. You know, who cares at the end of the day, except for the fact that, you know, Pac-12 is going to get some, you know, money because ESPN's got to find some product to put on the table here. So,
well, don't frame it that way. No, they have a glorious opportunity to embrace the Conference of Champions.
And that, well, yeah, okay, to not, no joke there. The SEC, the ESPN suddenly has the same problem the SEC's run into where they don't have any markets. I mean, it's ESPN, boo-hoo, it'll... You know, it'll, you know, it don't hold any bake sales for them or anything. And obviously, they've got every other sport imaginable. But when it comes to college football, at least in the regular season, if they're just all SEC centric, of course, you know, America watches the big Alabama, you know, LSU game or whatever. But are they going to watch Ole Miss versus Kentucky? Not really. And where are your markets? You don't have LA, you don't have New York, you don't have Chicago, you don't have Philadelphia, you don't have Phoenix, you don't, you're missing something like 8 of the top 10 markets when you lose the Big Ten. So if you get the Pac-12, we all know San Francisco's, you know, kind of a dead space for college sports. But at least you've got the San Francisco.
It's market number 4, and you get Phoenix, and you get Seattle. You were
and Portland,
singing
and
from
Salt
my
Lake
own
City?
Handbook, Pete.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. All right.
Exactly.
But I don't want to be my normal biased self, and we're talking college football with Pete Futek from collegefootballnews.com. Let's talk about a small market that's incredibly important. South Bend, Indiana. What does the future hold for Notre Dame?
I've got to believe it's got to be Big Ten. And I've always – the problem is those two kids – we can't get Ross and Rachel together. I mean, they can't – they're both so arrogant. You know, the Big Ten is not going to give Notre Dame any preferential treatment because if they do that, Ohio State's going to be like, wait a minute. We want this. We want the, you know, the sweet gig too. And Notre Dame doesn't want to just be thrown into the pile. You know, just be another program. I mean, not saying that Penn State is that, but you know, Penn State, Nebraska, you know, they come aboard and, you know, they're just part of the fun. They're not the standalone, you know, national brand necessarily like they used to be for a variety of reasons, even though they're both monsters, obviously. And Notre Dame doesn't want to be that. I still think, and this is just me being, you know, tinfoil hat time. I still think if you're George Klivikov and you're the commissioner of your beloved Pac-12, how do you not say, hey, Notre Dame, just we'll give you whatever you want. Just you join. You've already got games against Stanford and USC every year, even though USC's leaving. You already you kind of fit academically with what we want to be. You know, you're a national program that has no problems traveling. What do you want to be the, you know, the anchor tenant in the mall in this thing? It's not going to happen, but that would be what I would do if I were the Pac-12. I still think the ACC fits. But I do think, a long-winded way to answer your question, I do think the money's just going to be too astronomical to not somehow make this work with the Big Ten.
Because the audience is tired of me defending the Pac-12, let's talk about actual games coming up. So we'll start at the top of the sport. Preseason coaches polls out. Alabama, number one. What did you make, Pete, of the comment from Nick Saban describing last year as a rebuilding season in which they made it to the national title game?
Yes, frighteningly enough, absolutely right. Not only was it a rebuilding season, that was a badly flawed team. Their offensive line could not pass protect. I think they were last in the SEC in sacks allowed. The offensive line struggled. The secondary was just okay. And the offense had a weird way of just taking a nap for long periods of time. Like the Florida game, it just decided not to show up for the second half. Auburn, it didn't show up until the last, 2 minutes. You know, so it was a badly flawed team that, look, I know Georgia people get mad at me at this, but Jameson Williams doesn't get hurt in that game. That might be one of the Crimson Tide's way in the national championship. And now they're a whole lot better. So the X factor here, and I'll say this to all the top teams, except even maybe Clemson, because they actually have some backups. What happens if you lose Bryce Young? What happens if you lose C.J. Stroud? Because in the transfer portal era, yeah, all these teams got better. Alabama got better through the transfer portal. You know, everyone gets better through the transfer portal, but you lose your backup quarterbacks. None of these teams, you know, Alabama doesn't have a Mac Jones. It doesn't have a Tua. It doesn't have that number two guy. So if they lose Bryce Young for any stretch of time, all bets are off then.
I'm Brian Weber, and for Jim Rome, we're taking you across the country on campus with Pete Futek from collegefootballnews.com. Pete, it was refreshing to see Cincinnati jump up to make the college football playoff last year.
Did you have fun with that? Did you enjoy
it? I did.
Which part of the blowout did you enjoy?
No, because I believe in the common man. Hey, Pete, I'm not some elitist publisher, okay, hanging out with the Sulzberger family who runs the New York Times. I'm an ordinary Joe. And I defend the common man. So, Cincinnati aside,
two P's. Yeah,
Cincinnati
exactly.
aside, give me a team outside of the normal hierarchy. Somebody who could make an unlikely run into the playoff.
Am I allowed to say USC because they've been bad over the last several years? I mean, think about it. USC has been shockingly mediocre. We did a piece saying who are the winningest teams in the college football playoff era who have not been in the college football playoff. It was a top 20 list, and USC was 20th. I mean, they haven't won like we think they've won. Obviously, it's not exactly the little engine that could here. but to answer your question directly, Houston's the one that could be that team. But you got to go 13-0, and you need a whole slew of breaks. I still contend that if Oklahoma State gets 6 inches closer to the goal line in the Big 12 championship, they are probably more deserving of being in, and Cincinnati might be out, or at least there's been an argument. But Houston's probably that one. But I'm still, again, outside the norm, USC, if you look at their schedule, they miss Oregon. They get Notre Dame, but there's not a whole lot there to really freak out about other than the trip to Utah. And they've got an all-star 22 there under Lincoln Riley to start with through the transfer portal. So that's the team I kind of think, you know, never been to the college football playoff. That's probably your newbie. That's probably your new guy who might be in the mix here.
Yeah, poor little USC, another one of my alma maters as I read my resume. 60 seconds or less. How long do we have to wait to go to a 16-team playoff?
Fast. I can't. You're not going to get this. There's no chance that they get to do all these TV deals and ESPN's left out there holding the bag without them getting more product and inventory by expanding this thing to 12 or 16 as soon as humanly possible, as soon as the ink is dry, cementing the fact that they are all SEC all the time. They now own the bowl season. They're going to want to own a lot more of the college football playoff.
And you did it just that quickly. Pete, you're the best. May I ask the setting of this conversation? Are you getting your steps in?
Obviously. It's because I'm going to sit in front of a computer for the next 6 months, and this is where the football season 15 kicks in, so I got to do what I can to stomp that out before it starts.
Like an elite, you're multitasking. Pete, I speak for the common man, but we'll have this conversation again, my friend. Take care.
Absolutely, sir. Later.
Pete Futek, hammering Cincinnati. It can't be the same teams every year. Can I run through the top five in the preseason coaches poll one more time? Alabama, Ohio State, Georgia, Clemson, Notre Dame. What's the point of this playoff? Oh, Michigan got in last year. That's an underdog. My goodness. They have no heritage or history in Ann Arbor. The whole point of college football in the past was the nuances that made it different than the NFL. And I'm not saying go back to the polls, and we have a split national champion, AP and UPI. But I don't want a carbon copy of the National Football League. But I'm going to be dead wrong because all you got to do, as Pete said, is follow the money. 16 teams coming pretty quickly. Even though Pete was in a wind tunnel or on a Stairmaster, the information was so stellar, that's our huge call. Brought to you by Grainger for the ones who get it done. Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry. 24/7 support, free access to product specialists, experienced staff at over 250 local branches. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Want to thank our guests? Just two of them today, and you didn't even make the cut to get on the air. Blame Tom. Well-dressed Tom said, don't go to the phones. Now, Ritt is screening tomorrow. That means anything can happen. If you want to get on the air, 1-800-636-8686. Garrett, you're going to make it tomorrow?
It's lit!
Should I be concerned about your whereabouts?
Can't
you want
do
a carpool?
It,
no, you can't and I can't it. Be in the car for 90 minutes. Plus, I got to put some fast food on the passenger side. Allegedly, that's the Hall of Fame you miss, kids. I'm also a Hall of Famer when it comes to the steam room. Not a sauna. I need the full steam. That's coming up. As a narcissist, just looks at that return monitor and says, I could use the steam. So thanks to Pete Futak from collegefootballnews.com, Jarrett Bell, NFL columnist, USA Today. Tom, thank you for the cameo. Always a pleasure. Ritt, more coffee tomorrow. Alvin will be here. More importantly, thanks to Jim Rome, Craig Hitchin, Spike Eskin, David Mirnack, all of the terrific people at CBS Sports Radio. Thanks for your tweets and your emails. I'm Brian Weber. Enjoy the rest of your day, and we'll do it again tomorrow here in the jungle on CBS Sports Radio.